Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Last week, I shared that when you have your babies can somewhat impact the phase of life that you're in. All right, so the four phases of life that I say a woman goes through is childhood, accumulation, which is usually your 20s and 30s, survival, which is 40s to 55, and then 55 plus is downsizing and legacy. These aren't in stone. I mean, they overlap a little bit, and you can find that you're in more than one stage at a time. So I mentioned that while everyone in their 20s and early 30s is accumulating houses and spouses and jobs and kids, and basically if you want to hang up a picture, you're going to need to buy a hammer and nails. You need the tools even to do the projects when you're in your 20s and 30s, whether you have children or not. But if you have your children later in life, let's say in your 40s, you're still in the survival stage because your 40s and 50s are your highest income earning years. It's the highest percentage of women working in the United States in the workforce. And it's often when the older generations in your family need your help as well. So you have caregiver responsibilities on you, even if you don't have children. So if you decide, or if for whatever reason, you have your children starting in the late 30s and early 40s, you're going to add that accumulation element just because little babies until they're two will go through five different sizes of clothing and four different kinds of food and five different sizes of diapers. And even if that's all you're buying for your kids, that is a lot of turnover and a lot of moving out the old and moving in the new. So accumulation is related to your age and is also related to your childbearing years or when you have children. The next two stages of life, survival and downsizing, are also related to other life events. So having a baby is a joyous life event, almost always, and it usually brings about accumulation. There are two other life events that go on that I'm going to talk about in this podcast and the next one, which are not joyous life events. They will rock your world in an instant. And those are, number one, becoming a caregiver for a parent or a loved one. And number two, the death of someone close to you in which you are the executor or have a big role in that passing of that person's life. So in this podcast, I'm going to focus on what happens when you become a caregiver. Like I said, this happens in the blink of an eye. Often, you may not even know you are this person's durable power of attorney or that you're in charge of their living will, or it's really never even been thought that this person is going to need to be taken care of. I've noticed this in my own life and in the life of those around me, that this whole falling and breaking your hip thing, or it's actually fracturing your pelvis sometimes, is a real thing. Like, I always heard about how people would fall and break their hip. I didn't think anything of it. But now that I'm 45, in the last 18 months, I can't even tell you how many people's moms I know who have fallen and broken their hip, including my mother-in-law. So when this happens, literally, mom falls or dad falls or somebody falls and they break their hip or their pelvis, I had no idea what that meant. Well, it means that for the next 3 to 6 months, they're going to need a lot of help. And just like you yourself need to take care of your home and your job if you have one and your spouse if you have one and your children if you have them and your passions and pursuits and all of those things that you're juggling, all those balls that you're juggling in the air and you're making it work. When a loved one close to you breaks their hip or falls or is in a car accident or some kind of tragedy, medical tragedy usually happens, and you become their caretaker, all of those things that you're juggling and they're juggling, all those balls get on your plate. Because literally, they can't get out of bed. They just fell and broke their hip. So now they're in a hospital bed. And then there's a rehab program, and we move on from there. The one blessing of falling and breaking your hip and not something else is that mentally, whoever has fallen is usually mentally still coherent and able to do things. But physically, they can't move around, and sometimes it's the opposite. So when my mother-in-law fell, we were the only family that was local in town. So we became responsible for the cute little kitty cat and all of the mail and anything that had to happen at the house. And then any needs that my mother-in-law had, you know, clothing, washing the clothing. She was at a rehab facility, so we didn't have to drive her a lot to begin with. And it just, you pull all of the family resources together in the crisis. I say it's a crisis, although there was no drama in ours, so it wasn't really crisis feeling. But it's the amount of time. Like, caregiving takes time. It's not a check the box thing. It's not a make a couple meals and take it over to mom's thing. If you are truly being a caregiver, it is a lot of time. It's a lot of time each day. It's a lot of mental time. It's a lot of emotional time. It's a lot of checking in time. And that time has to come from somewhere. Sometimes a little bit of it comes from your job. A lot of it comes from taking care of your own house. And you immediately learn to prioritize what is absolutely life and death important. Number one, we have to take care of the person who needs to be taken care of, right? So whoever we are caretaking for, that's the number one priority, that their needs have to supersede all of ours. Usually, the second priority is whoever your employer is, or if you're self-employed, continuing to make an income, because the world runs on money. As much as my son would like it not to, like he's 17 and he's very what is that called? He wants everything to be even. He wishes that there was no money and that we didn't have to deal in currency. Like, why can't everybody get what they need? But we do live in a world that needs money. And often when you're a caretaker, you need more money than to run your budget. You now need to help someone else. Even if not financially, you don't need to financially pay their bills. You're buying more takeout food and maybe you're doing a little bit more dry cleaning or whatever it takes to survive. So number one, we're prioritizing the person we're taking care of. Number two, we're prioritizing continuing to bring an income into our family, not only for us, but possibly for whoever we are caring for now. And honestly, sometimes that's all you get. Like, then showering would be nice and a little bit of sleeping. But the thought that you're going to go home and clean your house or even clean the house of the person that you're caregiving for, it's kind of pie in the sky, right? Like, when are you going to do that? Between 2 and 4 a.m.? And here's the other thing I noticed, that when you become a caretaker or somebody becomes ill, a lot of your time is spent outside of the home. So you are driving to take care of them, taking care of them, driving back, or driving to pick them up, taking them to a doctor's appointment, waiting, picking them up, taking them back, driving yourself home. So even if you did have, let's say you wanted to organize your paper or something, you would have to pack that with you and take it with you, and you're constantly in a different location. You're in their home, you're in the rehab facility, you're at this doctor, you're at your home now you're over at your work. And you're constantly moving. So the idea of starting and finishing a task is really hard because you're not in any one location for any length of time. So I've made some rough notes here about what I want to cover in this podcast. And I'm sure that I'll cover another podcast in the future with a few more ideas in addition to what I have jotted down here, if I can find my notes. The first thing that you need to do when you get in one of these crisis situations is to, number one, give yourself grace. You are not going to be able to meet your own expectations in any way, shape, or form. Like, you're going to want to be the perfect daughter, the perfect wife, the perfect whatever, but you're not necessarily going to be able to do that. And you're going to have to prioritize. And along the line, you're going to have to sometimes prioritize you over everyone else too. So if you need to take, let's say you become a long-term caregiver for someone, I would say you need to prioritize one day a month just for you, even if that means you have to hire somebody to take care of mom so that you can have one Thursday a month for you. You need that day to go to your dentist appointment, get your hair cut, go to your own grocery store, clean your own toilets, whatever it is you need to do. Just because you are the designated caretaker doesn't mean you have to do 100% of the caretaking. You just need to make sure it gets done. The second thing I would say to do is to immediately simplify. You go from full on running your own house and your business and your family and doing whatever you're doing, and then immediately it's like someone cuts into your calendar and then fills it up with all this other stuff. And what I find I tried to do when it was my father who was sick was I tried to keep doing everything and just squeeze it into different spaces and work longer and longer hours, which works for a while when you're running on adrenaline, but especially if you realize that you're going to be the caretaker or helping someone for more than 21 days, then I want you to really stop, take a big long bubble bath, and think about, okay, it's been 21 days. How long is this going to last? Another 21 days? 6 months? A year? Indefinitely? For many, many caretakers right now, it's indefinitely. It's until this person passes away. They're not going to live on their own anymore, and maybe there aren't the resources to put them in a retirement home that's suitable and up to your expectations. Or maybe it's going to be this way for another 21 days, but you're going to downsize mom's house and move her into a retirement center that you love, that has everything that she needs, but you're also going to have to spend the next 6 months after that clearing out the family home and getting it ready for sale. What are we looking at here? Let's really take stock of what we're looking at. Often we go into the caretaking relationship, we drop everything and we rush to the person who is in aid, and then we stay in that kind of a fight or flight state indefinitely. Like, we never stop to evaluate, this is my new normal, so maybe I should set up some more systems for this, or this has an end date in sight, so I'm going to be running, but only for 21 more days. Then I want you to simplify. Once you realize how long you're in this caregiver role, I want you to really start simplifying. Now is when, if cooking is not one of your passion projects, start buying TV dinners, start picking up takeout meals. Doesn't have to be fast food. You know, you can go to Bob Evans. They make some of those great home style meals. Pick it up and take it to wherever you are with your caretaker, or pick it up on your way home to your family. Simplify everything. If you love to wear all kinds of different makeup, simplify to your favorite ones. Get two of everything when you go next time. Keep one set in your car and one set in your bathroom. That way, wherever you are, at least you can put your face on. As a matter of fact, this is a great idea. Once you become a caretaker, I have a little travel kit that I take when I am traveling that has everything that I need in it. I would pack an overnight bag and just leave it in your car as long as you are a caretaker, so that if you are at mom's house, if you end up late at the retirement home or wherever you are, you have what you need. You have your deodorant, you have your curling iron, you have what you like to use to take your makeup off at night. Have those things with you. Which leads to my next tip, which is to deck out your purse and your car. If you're local and you're not flying in and out, if you're locally being the caregiver, I would look at your car as a portable home. Because as a caregiver, you are almost never at your own home. I'm never at my own home because I'm driving my kids everywhere, but we always end up at home at night because I'm taking care of my kids and they live in my house, and so we end up at my house at night. When we were taking care of my mother-in-law, we would end up at her house. So I wouldn't have at her house what I needed here. And to be honest, I didn't do much of the caregiving. That all was on Greg. So it's not like I ended up in this situation. But had I thought about this for the year that we took care of my dad, I was out of town, but I used my car to get home. So I would hear that dad had gotten sick. I would literally jump in the car and drive home to Akron, where I didn't have any of my stuff because I haven't lived there for 20 years. I'd be there for 3 or 4 days, and then I'd get in the car and come back. Had I heard a podcast like this or had time to think about it clearly, I would have kept a packed carry-on in my car. I would have, with pajamas, a couple extra pairs of clothes, and all of my toiletries in there. That would have been no problem. And in that 9 months from the first time he was hospitalized until he passed away, we knew that eventually he was going to pass away. We knew that he wasn't going to live 15 more years. And had I just had that carry-on in my car, I wouldn't have had to constantly try to pack or remember things, and I could have just focused on making sure Greg and the kids had what they needed, gotten in the car, and driven home. Because who cares what I wear when I go to the hospital, right? It doesn't matter if I'm wearing the same sweats every day. I'm going home to my family's house, and I can wash the clothes. So deck out your purse and your car. If there's medicine you take on a regular basis, like I get migraines, I keep my migraine medicine in my purse. So if there's anything that you need like that, put like a 5-day sample in your purse. That way, if you get stuck late at your mom's house or wherever you are, I keep saying mom because it always seems to be a mom, but in my case, it was a dad. If you end up late and you normally take your medicine at 8 o'clock, but you're going to be there until 9:30, well, if you have it in your purse, you can just go ahead and take it, right? And so you can keep yourself more on your schedule. Another thing I did when I was taking care of my dad, well, first of all, that's when I found out how great Starbucks coffee was. I had never had Starbucks coffee before, and I would have a Starbucks coffee like around 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm a lion, so I'm usually up and early and I could get a lot done in the morning. But if I had that Starbucks coffee at 4, then I was able to stay awake until 11 or 12 at night, and that got me through that time. So if you have a favorite kind of coffee, you know, build that into your day to make sure that you get the coffee that you need. I like to have Zone Perfect peanut butter chocolate bars, so I would have those, extras of those, in my purse because just eating one of those, I could make it 2 more hours before a meal. And often, you end up as a caregiver taking care of the person that you're caring for, and they get food brought to them, but you don't get food brought to you, nor do you want to add to that bill, right? Or maybe they're going to have a procedure and they can't eat, but you could, you know, say you're going to the bathroom, go out in the hallway, eat a protein bar real quick, and come back in because they're laying in a bed getting ready for a procedure. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. You need protein. You need fuel. You need to eat. And often we forget to eat. And when I don't eat, of course I get a migraine. Then I'm taking the migraine medicine. Then I'm tired. And it's this whole round robin effect. So if you can just at night, one night, taking another bubble bath and think about, okay, what food could I have in the car? I would have nuts. I love nuts. So nuts, a protein bar. I have these little powdered drink mixes that just go in a big tumbler of ice and water. You can always get ice and water. Just add your little mix of whatever you like into that, shake that up, and then you have something nice to drink. And keep that water bottle in the car. I actually, just so you know, I keep a whole case of water in my car. Not in the middle of summer in Ohio. I live, you know, in a northern climate, so it's okay. But we actually keep a case of water in the car. The kids and I drink it all the time. It saves a ton of money on fast food. And I find you don't get as many headaches if you're hydrated. So if it's not, you know, 95 degrees outside and 110 with the windows rolled up in your car, put a whole daggone case of water in your car. If you go and you buy a box of protein bars and they're not going to melt, leave the whole box of protein bars in your car. It doesn't matter. We're not trying to get the award for most pristinely clean car right now. We're trying to survive however long this is that you're going to be a caregiver, taking the best care you can of yourself, of the person you're caring for, and your other family members. All right, so decking out your purse might also mean for sure, 100% for sure, go ahead and go online and buy an extra battery pack for your phone and a charger cable and leave that in your phone at all times. I have a brand. Do I have it in my purse? Yes, I do. Winner. It's called Anker, A-N-K-E-R. This is the best brand of battery charger I can find on Amazon. I've bought the $5 ones at Walmart. They tend to work for about 10 charges and then they just don't work anymore. But this Anker brand tends to be really well, really good. And this one I bought, I can't remember how it was, maybe $20 or $30. And when I charge it, it has enough juice in it to charge my phone fully 4 times. So on a Sunday, when I do the Sunday basket, I charge this thing up all the way. And then that way during the week, I can use it a couple of times and then just charge it up again on the weekend. Also, while you're at it, buy another charging cord for your car. And every time you get in your car, charge your phone. Just get in the habit of charging your phone every time you get in the car, and then you're not going to use that extra battery in your purse as much. Really start analyzing everything you do and streamlining everything to get it as efficient as possible. So if you run out of gum, I love gum. If you run out of gum, then I buy my gum at Costco. Costco is the best pricing for gum. They have like packs of 18. If I was in a caregiver situation, I would just buy 3 packages. I would just buy a ton. I have it in my purse. I have it in my car. I have it in my bedroom. I would definitely have it in my carry-on bag because I like gum and I like having fresh smelling breath. So that's something that's important to me. also, I would keep index cards in your purse so that you're constantly writing yourself notes like I am. So you run out of gum, write an index card, gum, I need to get gum. Then when you get home that night, you can transfer it to wherever you get gum or make it on your list. Every time you don't have something or you run out of something, write it down and then buy double. It is worth it at this time to stock up on things. And like I just told you about that Anchor brand for the charger, or any charger, it's just a portable charger. I shop on Amazon and I'm an Amazon Prime member. They lose money on me because I buy so much stuff. Get the Amazon app on your phone, and when you're sitting there in the waiting list and you realize you need gum, order it on Amazon. Have it shipped to your house. Have it shipped to your parents' house or whoever you're caregiving for. Have stuff shipped there. Have a new book shipped there. Do whatever you can from your phone so that you can save time when you get home for things like showering. Anything that can be done remotely and doesn't have to be done at your house, I would definitely do on your phone. Okay, the next thing that I think this is the first thing I usually counsel people to do. You're not going to be surprised about this answer, is that you need to have a Sunday basket for your loved one that you are the power of attorney for, or you are caregiving for, or whoever this is. Because even if their mail is not being forwarded to you, if you're picking up their mail from their house, if you're collecting bills for them, if you are even shopping for them. Like if you need, when you're at the grocery store, you're going to pick up gum for them, let's say. Then when you get home, throw that in their Sunday basket. And if you're constantly in your car all the time, put your Sunday basket and their Sunday basket in the trunk of your car. That way you always have your Sunday basket. Because I could guarantee you this, you do not have time to be going through your Sunday basket when you're at your house, but you probably have time to go through the Sunday basket with them in a waiting room. Or while you're sitting at their house talking to them, you can go through their Sunday basket with them, right? So keep the Sunday baskets in the trunk of the car. All right, the last thing I want to talk about, the hardest thing for me when my dad was hospitalized was I hadn't lived at home for 20 years. My sister and I were power of attorney, durable health care. We had all the power. We had all the power and none of the knowledge. So, you know, what's his blood type? I don't know. What's his driver's license number? I don't know. What's his, you know, I didn't know anything. Luckily, my dad's pretty organized and the filing cabinet was there and we started going through the filing cabinet and all of his medical records were in the city that he was in. So they were able to pull a lot of that information. But when you are a caretaker, there is medical information that you need to have that you might not have. And number two, what I know about the baby boomer generation is that they don't really like to give their kids all of their medical and financial information unless they really have to. So what happens is when they really have to, we're in a crisis. Like they're injured and now we need their medical information, or God forbid they've passed away and we need all of the financial information and passwords. And it's not being given as freely down to the Gen X generation from the baby boomers, because the baby boomers, you know, they're just humming along, doing their life, and no one wants to think about what happens when tragedy strikes. Until tragedy strikes. And then you're like, shoot, I should have taken the time to fill out all of this medical information. I am filling out these medical information cards, not just for Greg and I, but also for the kids. And my kids are almost 16 and 17 years old. And what's really awesome about filling out this medical planner that I have is I ask in there, like, you know, have you had prescriptions that you had a bad reaction to? Or tell me the history of any of your past illnesses. List all of the medications that you're taking, things like that. And what I'm finding is because it's a digital document, I can send it to my kids as a PDF that they then can keep. And when they need that information for future doctor's visits, they can pull that up. And all of their medical information is there for them, and they don't have to keep calling and asking, what prescriptions do I take? What medications have I tried? What do I have reactions to? What is the history of blah, 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 blah? When you are a healthcare power of attorney, or you're the caregiver for someone and you're helping them with their medical needs, it is amazing to me how important it is to know the history of their illness and illnesses that they've had in the past, or how they react to medicines. So people with different diagnoses react differently to different medicines. And so if you know some of that past history, then it will help the current doctor piece together the puzzle. Because as much as I think that medical history and the medical profession is an exact science, it's really not. Like, there's a reason there are 8 different ADHD drugs, is because it reacts to people in different ways, and different kinds of medication work with different body chemistries. And the more I learn about medication and medicines and illnesses and all of these things, I realize that different genetics are predisposition to different diseases and to handling different drugs in different ways. And combinations of drugs, drugs that you've taken in the past, may impact what drugs work for you in the future and at what dosages. So the more information you have on a medical record like that, the easier it is for your doctor to go, oh, well, they had this when they were younger, and then this happened, and then this happened. Well, then this is going to be the best course of treatment. Because your doctor always has multiple courses of treatment that they can follow. They have the one that works for the most people most of the time. But the more they know about your medical history, the easier they can make an educated guess on which of the treatment options available to them will be the best for you. All right, so those are what I have there. All right, I just want to tie this back into, how does this impact the phase of life that you're in? When you become the caretaker for someone, whether you have children or not, you are thrust into the responsibility of 2 people, at least 2 households, 2 sets of bills, 2 sets of everything. So whether you are in the accumulation, survival, or downsizing and legacy phase of life, when you are a caregiver, you are in the survival phase of life, for sure. And how I define survival is, you are in your highest income earning years, you have the least amount of time, and you spend the majority of your time in your car and not at home, which is why you can't get it organized. And for sure, that is what happens when you are a caregiver. We start out in this caregiver role and we think, okay, I'm just going to take care of whoever this is and keep going until. And sometimes that until is 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. And you've never stopped to prioritize what you need because you're in constant crisis mode of taking care of who needs help. And they do need help. But if they're cognitively aware, they really don't need you to open their mail. Just take their mail to them wherever they are. So sometimes we take on more responsibility than we need to, just to be nice or to make it easier for the person who is being cared for. But if the person who is being cared for can handle things, bring them what they need. If they don't have a computer, but they could be doing some of this stuff, you can buy a Chromebook. I love Chromebooks for $250. It's essentially like a tablet with a keyboard. So it's a Google product. And you can open multiple tabs. It's just like a computer, but it has a very small memory in it. So you can't store big programs like Photoshop, or I use a video software. You can't have that on a Chromebook, but you can do almost anything most people do on a computer on a Chromebook. So if you have a loved one who you're going to be caretaking for 6 months, it's worth it to buy a $250 Chromebook, upload their financial information in there, teach them how to go on Amazon and buy the stuff they used to buy in the grocery store and have it shipped straight to them. Like, empower them to take care of themselves too. Don't feel like you have to do all of the things. You just need to either empower them, employ somebody, or do it yourself. So no matter where you are in your stage of life, if you are the caregiver, you are being thrust into the survival years. So last time we talked about how your childbearing years will add accumulation to whatever time frame you're in. This time we talked about how being a caregiver will add the survival years to whatever categorical phase of life you're in. And next time we're going to talk about what happens when someone passes away, and I bet you can guess what phase of life that is going to jump you into. You guys have a great week.